From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Jokowi to stay overnight in Kaimana, West Papua. And Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries encourage fisheries MSMEs to market their products online. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo or Jokowi and First Lady Iriana are expected to stay overnight in Kaimana District, West Papua on Sunday evening, October 27th, and reap the rewards of a scenic sunset in the afternoon during his working visit in the province. West Papua Governor Domingus Mandakan said on Sunday, the President would enjoy sunset in Kaimana and later stay overnight, prior to proceeding to Jayapura, Papua Province, on Monday, October 28. Kaimana's scenic sunset has been famous thanks to a song entitled Senja di Kaimana or Sunset in Kaimana, popularized by Indonesian pop singer Alfian in 1960s. The agenda of Jokowi on Sunday included a visit to Pegunungan Arfak District to check several infrastructure development projects, tourism sites, and farms. From Arfak, the president and his entourage will proceed to Kaimana. Jokowi will see the infrastructure development projects, including an airport renovation in Kaimana, which is being designated as a halal tourism destination. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is encouraging that various micro, small, and medium fisheries units can market their products online in an effort to expand marketing, including reaching the export market. It was said by the Secretary of the Directorate General of Strengthening Competitiveness of Marine and Fisheries Products, Bernie Asupki, in a release received at Jakarta on Saturday, October 26th. The Ministry has also conducted a number of workshops on fishery for MSME entrepreneurs, such as that of 50 fishery MSMEs in Cirebon District recently. He said, now the startup has developed rapidly, which provides easy access for all parties, one of which is the MSMEs of fishery products to market their products online. As reported, practitioners and executive director of Indonesia Services Dialogue, or ISD, Devi Aryani, stated that as many as 8 million jobs in Indonesia are carried out online. According to Devi, the work is basically divided into three types of work, namely online drivers, online freelancers, and fintech or financial technology agents. Indonesia and Myanmar celebrated 70 years of diplomatic relations by holding a diplomatic reception and a food festival at the Indonesian Embassy in Yangon. A series of activities included a diplomatic reception on October 28, an Indonesian food festival from October 25 to 28, and an Indonesian festival on October 25 and 26. The activities were aimed at introducing the diversity and typical characteristics of Indonesian culture and cuisine to the people of Myanmar and enhancing the relations between the two Asian member states. The diplomatic reception promoted a theme on West Sumatra, known for its cultural uniqueness and delicious cuisine. The embassy invited a West Sumatra delegation led by Governor Iwan Prayitno, and an arts team from the Padang State University or UNP to promote the province's potential as well as enliven the activities. The Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Mahfud MD, reminded the alumni of the Islamic Student Association, or ISA, to be able to contribute to helping the government in realizing a golden Indonesia. That was said by Mahfud when giving a speech at the ISA Alumni Corps National Dialogue in West Kalimantan, Saturday night, October 26th. He said the theme of the National Dialogue with ISA Alumni Corps was to discuss Indonesia Cita. In terms of a political program, is to realize Golden Indonesia in 2045, whose inhabitants are prosperous, happy physically and spiritually. To get to Golden Indonesia, he said Indonesia already had a golden bridge, namely the independence from the results of the struggle of the fighters. Mahfud said the Golden Indonesia indicator was described in the opening of the second paragraph of preamble of the 1945 Constitution. To realize the Golden Indonesia, according to Mahfud, a sense of nationalism must be built. The Directorate of Sea and Coast Guard of the Ministry of Transportation is enhancing sailing safety and security in tourist destination areas in support of developing 5 new Bali. Director Ahmad in Jakarta on Sunday, October 27, said the directorate will support patrol activities in Labuan Bajo waters by increasing the number of patrol boats in 2020. In addition, the Directorate General of Sea Transportation will also prepare a sailing safety campaign in Labuan Bajo in collaboration with Australia. The plan is for Labuan Bajo to become one of the pilot projects for this campaign and will be continued in several other leading destinations. Ahmad assesses the safety and security of the cruise will provide security and comfort for tourists so that tourists will feel safe when visiting Indonesia. In addition to focusing on shipping safety and security, the directorate also carries out law enforcement functions. RRW Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government of Mahakam Ulu or Mahulu District, East Kalimantan Province, is likely to patent the traditional Hudok cross-border dance, which has escalated to a multi-ethnical version of the Hudok dance from a village to village origin. Christina Tening, Chief of Maluhu Tourism, Youth and Sport Agency, promised on Saturday that after the festival of Hudok cross-border, he will immediately coordinate with the East Kalimantan Tourism Agency to follow up on our plan to patent the Hudok cross-border dance. The coordinating process will be followed by the Tourism Ministry and other related stakeholders, since it was a new plan that has yet to be realized. Tening claimed that she was busy organizing the festival, which began on October 23rd and will conclude on October 26th, followed in the next few days by some post-festival activities. The festival broke a record of the Indonesian World Record Museum, or MURI, for the longest non-stop Hudok dance performance, lasting 25 hours, which exceeded the earlier record of 24 hours. The last item. Indonesian mixed doubles Pravin Jordan and Melati Daiva Oktavianti move into the final round of the 2019 French Open, which will be held on Sunday, October 27th at the Stade Pierre de Coubertin, Paris, France. Earlier in the semi-final, which took place Saturday, quoted from the BWF page, Pravin and Melati defeated British couple Krish Adcock and Gabriel Adcock in two games for 35 minutes with a score of 21-19 and 21-12. Pravin Melati and Chris Gabriel were noted to have met 5 times. Of the 5 meetings, Pravin Melati only recorded 2 wins from the married couple. Furthermore, at the summit of the Yonex French Open 2019, which will be held on Sunday, October 27th, Pravin Melati will face the first seed from China, Zheng Siwei and Huang Yaqiong. Besides Pravin Melati, Jonathan Christie also qualified for the final. Jonathan Christie managed to secure the 2019 French Open final ticket after going through a rubber game match against Victor Axelsen from Denmark with a score of 7-21, 22-20, and 21-19. With this victory, Jonathan also aided a meeting record of the two players to 2-3. In the final round, Jonathan will face fifth seed Chen Long from China. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This week's Spotlight is on Indonesian cabinet with diverse addresses. President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, October the 23rd, officially inaugurated 34 ministers and 4 minister-level officials in a formation called the Advanced Indonesian Cabinet. Circles hope the president's aides will be able to answer doubts that arise after the cabinet's composition was made public. From the economic side, the market responded positively to the cabinet's economic theme. During the inauguration last Wednesday, the composite stock price index closed up 32.31 points or 0.52%. The rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar also managed to strengthen. The sentiment of the new cabinet also aroused the rupiah. Based on the Bloomberg data, the spot exchange rate strengthened 0.06%. The Bank Indonesia Medi rate also strengthened by 0.05%. But there are those who still doubt the competence of the ministers. That doubt was expressed, among others, by Chairman of the Daily Management of Tanfiziah Nahdlatul Ulama, Robikin M. Has. He admitted that the Nahdlatul Ulama Executive Board claimed to get questions from many clerics regarding the president's choice of Minister of Religion, Fahrul Razi, who came from the military background. But according to Robikin, the Kiai understood that the Ministry of Religion must be at the forefront in overcoming religious-based radicalism. The clerics have also been worried about the phenomenon of the superficial understanding of religion, which is marked by the spread of intolerant attitudes. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry also welcomed the formation of the Advanced or Forward Indonesian Cabinet, especially the composition of its economic ministers. Chairperson of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Roslani is optimistic that the formation of the new cabinet can reduce the current account deficit, trade balance deficit, budget deficits, business licensing issues, poverty problems, human resource quality, structural fundamentals such as efficiency and productivity to employment. Meanwhile, Speaker of the Indonesian Parliament, Puan Maharani, asked ministers to get to work immediately. Specifically for the ministers of the economy, Puan requested that they anticipate worsening conditions in the world economy that were predicted to cause an economic recession. Puan Maharani also ensured that the House oversight function would be maximally carried out to ensure that government programs were well delivered to the public. Therefore, he also hoped that the ministers would often come down to the public so that the government program was right on target. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Today in History. I'll begin with October the 27th, 1945. The National Electric Company is founded. After the independence of Indonesia was proclaimed on August 17, 1945, the Japanese-controlled electricity company was seized by Indonesian youths in September 1945, then handed over to the government of the Republic of Indonesia. On October 27, 1945, the Office of Electricity and Gas was formed by President Sukarno. Now, October 27 is celebrated as National Electricity Day. Turning to October 27, 2005, civil unrest in France. French civil unrest initially occurred in areas near Paris, which began on October 27, 2005, with violent clashes between hundreds of young immigrants and French police. They were triggered by the deaths of two teenagers from North Africa in the Clichy-sous-Bois, a poor community in France, east of the banlieue or suburb of Paris, and then spread to other parts of the Seine-Saint-Denis. The civil unrest then quickly spread to other areas in France. On November the 3rd, 500 cars were burned. Then, on November the 8th, French President Jacques Chirac announced the enactment of emergencies in more than 30 cities in France after civil unrest continued in various cities and entered its 12th day. I conclude with October the 27th, 2007, National Blogger Day set. National Blogger Day was first launched by the Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information, Muhammad Nuh, on October the 27th, 2007, at the opening of Pesta Blogger or the Blogger Party that year. 4 years later, it turned into an on-off Indonesian event or on-off ID. Since it changed its name to on-off ID, the Blogger Party began to emphasize the importance of bloggers to be able to manage blogs more seriously so that they could produce something more useful. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by M.S. Srinivasa Raju in India. He was listening to English program through shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz on September 17, 2019, at 1300 hours until 1325 hours UTC, with excellent simple 5555. Hello, Mr. Raju, how are you? Glad to hear that you can monitor our broadcast very clearly. Warm regard from our crews to you. So please keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Mungkin kita ditakdirkan
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, October 27, 2019, is on Indonesia officially hosts the 2021 U20 World Cup. The International Football Federation, FIFA, officially appointed Indonesia as the host of the U21 World Cup. The announcement was made by FIFA in Shanghai, China on Thursday at the FIFA Council. Regarding the election of Indonesia as the organizer of the U21 World Cup, Secretary General of the All Indonesia Football Association PSSI Ratu Tisha Destiara told media on Thursday that Indonesia, in the bidding in Shanghai, defeated candidates from South America, Peru, and Brazil. In addition, there was a support letter of guarantee signed by the President on August the 7th, and several ministers and Indonesian police chief on August the 27th supported and strengthened Indonesia's success. In addition, full support was also given by the Minister of Foreign Affairs through the ambassadors and also the support of the ASEAN sports ministers. Meanwhile, the government moved quickly after FIFA appointed Indonesia as the host of the 2021 U20 World Cup. Minister of Youth and Sports Zainuddin Amali stressed that he would immediately request President Joko Widodo's direction regarding this appointment. For Zainal Amali, this is good news as well as a challenge considering that he has just been appointed as Minister of Youth and Sports a few days ago. Meanwhile, for the venues to be used, the All Indonesian Football Association has named, among others, Gelora Bung Karno Stadium in Jakarta, Wibawa Mukti in Cikarang, Pekansari in Bogor, and some others in Jawa and Bali. Indonesia became the remaining EFC representative after Myanmar, Thailand, Bahrain, and Saudi Arabia, and also United Arab Emirates resigned. For the Indonesian Football Association, this nomination is part of a long-term plan towards a mission to bring Indonesia to become a senior World Cup host in 2034 or 2038. By ensuring that Indonesia is the host, it is also certain that Indonesia can finally return to the World Cup event after the last on U20 World Cup in 1979. Well, that was My Indonesia Today from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from our regular listener, Paulo Duarte. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program on October 17, 2019. In his email, he said that he loves all program as well as Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia segment. Hello, Mr. Paulo Duarte. Thank you very much for your compliment on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to Spanish section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. As appreciation, we will play another beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
Ku takut benar apa yang
RRI was service voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonders. It feels incomplete when traveling to a place without tasting its special culinary. This time I will take you to Central Jawa, especially Yogyakarta, to enjoy sego godhog. Sego godhog is a culinary that is widely available in Central Jawa, especially Magelang and Yogyakarta. Sego means rice and godhog means boiled. So, sego godhog is boiled rice. Of course, this culinary not only serves boiled rice, but there are side dishes that accompany it to make this menu a recommended culinary. What makes this sego godhog taste so delicious is, among other things, because it is cooked using anglo, a kind of stove made of clay with charcoal fuel. To make godhog rice or sego godhog actually does not require a long time. First, some spices are mashed. Add some cabbage leaves and put them into the frying pan. Then add some shredded chicken, eggs, then broth. After boiling, put rice, vermicelli, soy sauce, tomato slices, and leeks. If you like it spicy, chili may be also added. So, sego godhog or boiled rice is actually cooked rice plus other ingredients. As a compliment, there is still a sprinkling of fried onions, pickled cabbage, and cucumber, plus a sprinkling of fried peanuts. Usually, sego godhog or godhog rice sellers also provide other dishes such as fried or boiled noodles, fried rice, fried or boiled vermicelli. If you are in Jogja and its surroundings, it will not be difficult to find this sego godhog or godhog rice trader. Usually, they start selling their wares at 5 in the afternoon until late at night. You can enjoy this sego godhog while sitting on a lincha, a long bench made of bamboo. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today with the topic sego godhog from Yogyakarta. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. From Indonesia.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Ms. Karobi Hazarika in India. She was listening to our broadcast on October 15th, 2019 at 13:35 hours UTC with a SINPO 43343. Hello, Ms. Karobi Hazarika. How are you? Thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. In your email, you said that you are interested in our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for your compliment. Special for you and listener Voice of Indonesia, whatever you are, we will play a beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Sempat terbaca hatiku, malah terabai olehku. Lelahku sembunyi, tutupi maksud hati yang justru hidup karenamu. Dan bisa mati tanpamu.
Andai saja aku masih punya kesempatan kedua, pasti akan kuhapuskan lukamu, menjagamu, memberimu segenap cinta.
Ku sadari tak selayaknya selalu buatmu kecewa. Kau lebih pantas bahagia, bahagia karena cintaku.
Andai saja aku masih punya kesempatan kedua, pasti akan kuhapuskan lukamu, menjagamu, memberimu segenap cinta.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. It's nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today's edition will discuss the first bioanalysis laboratory in Indonesia. Listener, University of Indonesia or UI in collaboration with Daewoong Foundation or DF will establish the first bioanalysis laboratory in Indonesia. The laboratory specializes in the analysis of biological products, biopharmaceuticals, and therapeutic protein recombinant. University of Indonesia Deputy Rector for Research and Innovation, Rosari Saleh, said that with the concept of smart office, the existence of the UI and DF Bioanalysis Laboratory will facilitate open discussions between experts and researchers, so that it is hoped that it will create solution, problem solving, and renewal of innovative ideas. Rosari hopes that this laboratory can be an independent national bioanalysis laboratory and can contribute to the development of Indonesia's national health and biopharmaceutical fields. The Bioanalysis Laboratory will be established at the 4th floor Integrated Laboratory Research Center Building, ILRC Building, University of Indonesia, Depok. According to her, this laboratory will be equipped with sophisticated analysis instruments and support in-depth protein analysis. She added the UI and DF Bioanalysis Laboratory was also open for collaborative research with academics and professional experts in the field of biopharmaceuticals, as well as supporting the role of the government through National Agency of Drug and Food Control or BPOM. The Ministry of Health and other institutions as the regulatory authority for biopharmaceutical products for bioanalysis activities. Rosari said the establishment of the laboratory was a proof of the commitment of the UI and Daewoong Foundation in developing innovations to support the process of advancing biopharmacy, which was more effective, efficient, and adapted to the times. So listener, that was miscellany for today about the first bioanalysis laboratory in Indonesia. I'm Puri Safidadala. See you next time. Bersama. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Music Corner. Today we will discuss one song by Wizzy. The singer, whose real name is Wiliana Saraswati, began her career through a talent research event on one of the national private television. As a professional singer, Wizzy has released some singles that are quite well accepted by music lovers, such as Kepastian, Selamat Jalan Kekasih, it is a soundtrack of Si Dul movie, Cinta Cinta Cinta, feat. Sandy Samdoro, Puzzle Pieces, and I Am Sorry. In 2019, she finally released her first album titled Colors with the song Putih Abu as the main single. The song, composed by Wizzy, depicts the romance of a person in high school. And listener, here is Putih Abu by Wizzy. Enjoy the song.
Setiap hari ku menanti hadirmu terangkan pagiku. Suara cendatawamu ramaikan sepi di kelasku. Semakin sore ku gelisah, sadar kita harus berpisah. Ku rasa ingin cepat esok hari melihatmu. Ternyata bukan rasa yang biasa. Diriku tak dapat bergerak, apalagi berucap kata. Ingin ku menyapa, namun aku tak berdaya. Tak bernyali, oh diriku. Ooh, ooh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu, tapi hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Pernah bisa menjauh dari angan tentangnya, namun apalah daya ini bila ternyata sesungguhnya aku terlalu cinta dia. Selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa menjauh dari angan tentang.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tak pernah ku menyesal, ku hanya terus berharap. Cobaan di dalam hidup, dan aku terus berseru menahan air mata, menunggu keajaiban. Kau jatuh dari surga, kau jatuh dari surga, kau malaikat yang tak bersayap, jatuh dari surga, surga. Semua berubah sejak kau ada di dunia. Aku tak menyangka, tapi aku percaya.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.